from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
And then we turn to Lent. It begins in a matter of days. Father Roger Landry joins us to help prepare for the season the Church intends to be our annual spiritual boot camp. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host for Register Radio, and I'm joined by Matthew Bunsen, my co-host.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back to Register Radio. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register, and I am ready to talk about Lent. I am not prepared yet for Lent, and it starts very soon. And so I've invited Father Roger Landry to join us to talk about Lent. Welcome, Father Roger.
Good to be with you, Jeanette, and with all your listeners.
Thank you. Well, Father Roger Landry is a priest of the Diocese of Fall River, Massachusetts, who works now for the Holy See's Permanent Observer Mission to the United Nations. And Father Roger, you have recently written an article for the Register, a commentary that helps people prepare for Lent. Let's talk about what some of the key tips are for preparing for Lent. First off, one of the things you say is that Lent should not be something for sissies. Elaborate on that.
Many of the times the Lenten commitments that we make are very easy to accomplish and aren't really going to accomplish all that much in us at the same time. For example, Matthew Kelly has made famous the whole phrase that we got to give up more than chocolate for
right.
Lent.
Mm-hmm.
The whole purpose of Lent is going back to the basics of our faith, learning to unite our entire life to the Lord, remembering that He calls us to be saints, and to become a saint means to try to live faith, hope, and love not just adequately and get a D plus on it, mm-hmm. but in a heroic way, and strive with God's assistance to get an A in the most important thing of why we're alive. And so our Lenten commitments and promises need to keep that goal in mind. And if we're just giving up potato chips, for example, mm-hmm. I don't think that that's exactly what made the Blessed Virgin Mother holy.
That's right.
It's not what's made the saints holy. And so I challenge people in general that when we are looking at prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, the three that Jesus always mentions at the Gospel on Ash Wednesday, we need to be bold in the promises that we make. This year's coincidence of Ash Wednesday with Valentine's Day helps us to see, frankly, and I think it's a positive thing, not a negative, helps us to see what passion we're bringing or lack thereof to these practices. For example, couples who are in love talk to each other, and that's what we're called to do in prayer. Couples who are in love really sacrifice for each other. That's what we're called to do in our almsgiving for the Lord and others. Those who are in love are willing. They hunger for each other in a certain sense. And our fasting is meant to help us to hunger for what God hungers, which is really that we care about each other as beloved neighbors and as good Samaritans one to each other. And so St. Valentine's Day is a wonderful opportunity for us to focus on living our Lenten commitments with the passion with which young men and young women in love live their relationship.
You know, Father Landry, as I was proofing your column before we put it into the print edition of the Register and, of course, online now, I was really struck because it was a week ago at least, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I do need to start thinking about Lent. It's coming up pretty quickly. And of course, here we are just a few days before Lent, and I'm still saying, oh my goodness, I need to think more about Lent. But what struck me is that you presented this as us needing to have a plan. Why? Because this is essentially us getting ready to be able to confront temptation, like Jesus did in the desert. To be able to confront the devil when he presents himself to us in various temptations. And it's based on a book that was published February 1st by Pauline Books and Media, Plan of Life. And you wrote this book for the same purpose as you wrote the column, which is to help us prepare. So tell us a little bit more about this plan of life.
So Jesus said to Peter on Holy Thursday night, when Peter said, "Lord, I'll never betray you, even if I need to die for you," and then went out and betrayed, even knowing, betrayed him by confessing that he didn't even know who he was, to stay warm by a fire and stay close to Jesus when the trial was occurring. And Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak." Mm-hmm. A lot of the times we have very good and holy desires, but it's, do we act on those desires? And, you know, there's a huge difference between a good wish and a resolution. A good wish is, for example, I want to lose weight. A good resolution is, I'm not going to have food between meals. I'm not going to have high fructose corn syrup, mm-hmm. and all types of high-calorie sodas or whatever else. A resolution, a plan, is what takes that good wish and makes it practical. And so we need that for Lent. Jesus gives us the outline of a plan in terms of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, but we need to be concrete about what that means. And not just in Lent. I wrote this book, Plan of Life, to help us with the big picture of where we're going in life and whether we're, at a practical level, walking more and more together with the Lord or whether we're walking more and more apart from Him. We live, as you know, Jeanette, in a increasingly secularized age. And as Pope Benedict used to talk about secularism, he said, secularism is living as if God were not a given, living as if God doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And so the real temptation is to make our life of faith something that we do first thing in the morning with a few prayers at the end of the day, and something we take out with our best clothes on Sunday when we go to church. But what the Lord's asking of us is that we unite our entire existence with Him. So a plan of life is a spiritual game plan, a series of practices that can help us from the time we get up until the time we have our last thought going to bed, to unite the various parts of our life, our work, our family, our prayer, more and more toward the Lord, so that everything we do is one application or another of the Lord's command to pray always, to unite yourself with me always, because He is God with us. And if we're living a truly Christian life, we're going to seek to be with Him.
I want to look a little bit deeper at this plan of life through the lens of Lent. And the name of your column at ncregister.com is Formulating a Plan of Life for Lent and Beyond by Father Roger Landry. And you go into great detail about how to formulate a plan of life during Lent with the prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And you actually give some great, I think, just examples of things that can help us go a little bit further than, you know, just the nighttime prayers. Can you give us some of those key examples, beginning with prayer, for example?
Sure. With prayer, if we're going to make a plan, it needs to be concrete, it needs to be doable, and it also needs to challenge us, really, to change some of the ways that we look at our time. And so one of the things that's very important during Lent is that we unite ourselves to what Christ has accomplished for us on Calvary. It tells us in St. Luke's Gospel, it's really the pivot of St. Luke's Gospel in Luke 9:51, that Jesus set His face resolutely to Jerusalem, and that's what we do in Lent. And so praying the Stations of the Cross is key. To make some fixed time for what the Church calls mental prayer each day, whether it's 5 minutes, 15, 30, or an hour, depending upon what our schedule is, that we make a concrete fixed amount of time and stick to it every day. It can't be too long. If there's no chance that we'll be able to keep the resolution, when we start breaking it, we get discouraged and we don't grow.
Right.
But if we were to make 15 minutes a commitment every single day for the period of Lent, over those 15 minutes each day, the Lord's going to be able to do a tremendous amount of good. I also suggest daily Mass for those who can make it. If they can't get to daily Mass because of work or family obligation, to try to at least pay attention to the readings, for example, with Magnificat or many of the apps that we have on our smartphone, but to prioritize are placing God first in our life. And again, if I can go back to Valentine's Day, which is when Ash Wednesday will occur, people who love each other spend time with each other. It's not just a duty to fulfill, but it's a great gift. And so it begins there by listening to what the Lord wants to say in order to guide us each day, and then to be able to follow Him along that path that he gives us in small little prayerful indications.
I just love
fasting
how...
second.
I just love how practical. I was just going to say, I love how practical your advice is, because you do encourage us to push ourselves, to stretch ourselves, but don't take on something that you're not going to be able to keep. It's a very realistic goal, and you were getting ready to go towards fasting, and sometimes, you know, we are daunted by this idea of fasting because, hey, we have to work, we need our energy, but you also give us some very practical tips on fasting. How can that be done? And I cut you off, so go ahead. Tell us more about fasting.
So many on fasting either set goals too small or too big. Too small by just, for example, giving up sugar in their coffee. I just don't think that that's adequate to make somebody truly holy. Likewise, some people will overfast, that they're going to try to live something very, very strenuous for 40 straight days. For example, just eating bread or water.
Mm-hmm.
For 40 days, you're going to be robbed of energy. You're probably not going to get enough glucose to do your work, to pass the blood-brain barrier. That's probably going to make you irritable, and it's likely, if you're able to accomplish it, lead you to pride. And so what I recommend is something that I've used a lot in the confessional over the course of years, where people need fasting to gain self-discipline, but if we fast too much, well, when we fail, often we binge eat afterward. And so one of the ones that's been very successful involves a few little things. Just drink water during Lent, or if you have to drink coffee because you need the caffeine, water it down a little bit. But if you were to do that, you've got several times over the course of the day in which you're saying to your appetite for food or for drink, you're not in control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in control. I recommend don't have condiments on your food. No ketchup or butter or salt or pepper, salad dressing, things like this. Again, you'll have five or six opportunities over the course of the day to unite yourself to the Lord. You're still going to get nourishment. You're not going to lack energy, but there's going to be a little bit of a thorn in what you're eating.
Exactly.
And then I generally encourage, to the extent possible, that you not eat between meals and just look to your next meal. You'll get plenty of calories that you need for your work, but every time you eat and you drink, there's going to be a harmonization of your appetite for food with God. And if you can control that appetite, your appetite for adulation and approval, your appetite for sort of your sex appetite, other things can far more easily be self-mastered too.
Now, we've run out of time for the third one, which is almsgiving. But one thing that you say is this almsgiving should be deliberate. It should not be just engaging in random acts of kindness, but really have a game plan for self-sacrifice as we give to others, because we live in such a world of egotism, and so sacrificing needs to be front and central. But Father Landry, I invite our listeners to go to ncregister.com, take a look at your column on the plan for life for Lent and beyond. Thanks for being with us today.
May God help us both this Lent, Jeanette. Thanks.